Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dag Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dag Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dag Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Hallelujah. We have a testimony in the house. A very powerful testimony. Put your hands together and let's welcome Pastor Augustine. Oh, just put your hands together for Pastor Augustine.
One, two.
Merci. Hello, Pastor Augustine. Please, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Please, my name is Augustine from the Antioch region.
Pastor Augustine, please, what's your testimony about today?
Okay, so my testimony is about how God delivered my wife from death.
Wow!
In childbirth. So, I'm sure those of us who are in the church saw when she carried seed and on and on and on. So the day came for her to go and deliver. So we went to Confanoche Teaching Hospital. And in the morning of that day, she was having some pains. They call it contraction. So we went and...
Medical students say amen.
Before everything else, they asked her to do a scan to see the weight and some other details. So we went and did it. And when we came back, those who analyzed it told us that the baby is bigger, so much so that she cannot push. And also because the first baby was a CS baby, it won't be advisable to
CS
push.
Means cesarean section, okay?
Because there can be a tear in the womb. So... we said, okay, I think I actually consulted mommy that this is what they are saying. Wow. And mommy said that is the right decision. So, and one thing also was that mommy made one of our pastors, who is one of the top doctors in the hospital, came to also see.
What a mother we have.
Yeah, so he came and also said that it's a good decision, so they should go ahead and do it. So we waited, they told us we'll go at 6. So we waited 6, nobody came. At 7, they came to tell us that they are waiting for the anesthesia specialist to come and do the assessment and they will begin. So they came, two of them. They came to the ward, spoke to her, asked her some few questions and said, okay, now we are ready and set for the procedure. So they came again. They went and came back and escorted her into the theater. So as they were going, they asked me that would I like to join the be inside the theater as they do the CS. I was a bit hesitant, but I said, no, let me also enter and see how the whole thing is. Now, they dressed me up. She entered first, and they dressed me up to also go in. So they told me to wait. So when they finish preparing, then I'll come in. So now I was waiting. Nobody was coming. And all of a sudden, I just saw the surgeons and all those who were inside. Some were running out.
You say mercy.
So
can you imagine? You are waiting for your wife to
wait.
You are waiting in the room. And you see doctors running
nurses
out.
Nurses will bang the door mercy. Like they use glass doors. Even they were banging up and down so much that the handle of the door even broke.
Should
that
be
they come out like that, go in. Wow. Then look at, we are looking for this. Where is it? There's somebody who rush, go and bring it. And I was still waiting to be called in. And nobody was talking to me. Nobody was saying anything to me. So I was just standing there. I was like, what is happening? And I didn't want to interrupt them because the rate at which they were going and coming, I wouldn't afford any delay in anything. So they would go and come. Even up and down, even to go and bring spanner. And I said, what kind of surgery or CS session is it that you even need a spanner to do whatever?
Wow.
Then all of a sudden, they brought oxygen, those tanks. They brought one. Then they brought another one again. And I said, what's happening? Then all I could hear in the hospital was they were mentioning her name. No response. Yes. And I was like, what is, like I was scared. So I just stood and I was praying. Then I picked my phone, I texted mommy. But before the mommy And Lady Rev had organized some prayers at the background ongoing.
Wow.
So I knew spiritually we're all covered.
Please to put your hands together for our mother and our pastor who is taking care of us and caring for us all the time.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
So I went on the phone again. I tested mommy. I said, mommy, I think we need more. We need to intensify the prayers. I remember the exact test. And she was like, wow. And she told me that I should be calm. And I sent that same message to Lady Rev. And as I'm talking, so they went in, they started the procedure at 8 p.m. And as the whole thing, by 9, still, they were still going up and down. And I said, what is happening again? At least to bring me a little relief, I just heard the baby cry. So I knew that the baby had come out successfully. So they came out, they showed me the baby and took the baby to the ward to wait for the mother. And as I was talking, they had prepared a bed for the mother too, so that after the whole process, they will put her on and take her back to the ward. All of a sudden, again, some doctors from other areas also started coming in. At that point, I knew something was critically wrong. So plenty of doctors were coming in like that. And I was like, what was happening? On and on and on, like around 10 p.m. still. So I was there and one of the doctors came and said, I need to talk to you. And I said, God, I work in a hospital. So when I see some of these things, I know something really bad is happening. And she called me and sat me down. And before I went, Lady Rev called me and started encouraging me. At that point, I was just at the point of just bursting out and giving up.
Yes.
So the doctor sat me down and started explaining the whole thing to me. And she said that what happened or what was happening, because around that time, they were still trying to get her up. She told me that as they were about to give the anesthesia, that's why those who don't know what it is, they give to anybody who is going to be operated on so that it will numb your system, so that they cut, you know, there are two types. So we have
Don't science students say amen.
We have the spinal, that is the partial anesthesia, and we have the general. The general one, it will put you to sleep. The other one, it will numb the part that they need to operate on.
Tell anybody
so the doctor told me that before they could give the spinal, they started with an antibiotic too, so that at least to prevent infection and all that.
Yeah.
So after they gave the antibiotic, she told them that she's feeling dizzy. Then all of a sudden, she started vomiting. Her BP rose very high, 230. All of a sudden, she couldn't breathe again. Her oxygen level was just dropping. And that's what the explanation they gave me. And I was like, how? And I said, and the doctor told me that this was even before the anesthesia. And anesthesia, we know that sometimes it brings complications.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there's anything, that's where, just the antibiotics. Yes. So that's what she told me. She told me that I should please relax. And I said, I can't relax in this situation. That they will take her to the ICU. ICU is intensive care unit. When you are really critical, about to die, that's where they will take you.
Yeah.
So that they try to save you. So after she spoke to me, this was around 10 something. She went back in. Still, they were mentioning her name. Now she wasn't responding. And I said, hey, God. Around 11, then they brought in a particular type of bed at the ICU to come and pick her. The bed went in about 30 minutes. We were still there.
Yes.
And I saw one doctor coming out with blood on there. They had this white volunteer boots with blood on it. And I said, hey, what is happening? Like, I just couldn't imagine. So, long and short, they brought her out. And that was the first time I saw her after she entered. And her breathing was terrible. She couldn't breathe. She was on oxygen. She wasn't waking up just like that. I was like, wow. So they had to rush. Luckily for us, from the ward to the ICU was just a short distance.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if the thing was a longer distance. I wouldn't know what would have happened. So they pushed her quickly there and went, put her on ventilator, oxygen, everything you can think about just to make sure she comes back. And because we have a good pastor, at that point I was like, God, what is happening? Then mommy said that Reverend Seth is coming.
Wow.
And I said, wow. So he came, met me, encouraged me, and still I was like,
Still cry.
Because
like, no.
If you see somebody gasping for life on a deathbed, you know. She couldn't breathe properly. And I was like, God. So they called us again. The nurses at the ICU called me and they told me that this is what is happening. So what I need to do is to obey some rules, plenty of them. And I said, okay. And as I was there, I think Oyetu was with me. She called me and told me that the baby has been taken to MBU. And I said, MBU, I know hospital. and actually it's actually neonatal intensive care unit. Yeah. NICU. Yes, NICU. It means that the baby wasn't okay.
So the mother wasn't okay and the baby wasn't okay.
And the baby
okay.
too. So wow. long and short, we tried to run up that day and that was around 2 a.m.
Wow.
And to also tell you that the devil was also at work. As I go to the car park, my tie was flat. But she was dead.
Can you imagine?
I mean, how to go? And what helped me was the Reverend Seth came with his car, so we were able to use his car to buy some stuff they needed in the hospital at the ward. So we did, and we came back home. I'm sure you can tell. I couldn't sleep. Not. I was just there lying down, praying. And if you work in the hospital, going and coming the following day can be, the story can just change.
Yeah.
Either the person you brought in will not make it, or there will be improvement, or there will be nothing.
Yeah. Devil is a liar.
The following morning, I was coming. I had to fix my tie. The tie that I used was the sweater I was on sports. I had to buy a tie there and there. Manage myself to get back to the hospital. When I got there, by the grace of God, she had opened her eyes.
Wow, church. I think you should really, really put your hands together for God for this wonderful miracle. And what else happened?
She had opened her eyes and I just went closer because I worked there, so they could let me go in anytime I was. So I went in and I went to her bed and she looked at me. I could see her and I asked her a question. Sometimes one of the things that when people go through such a thing, it can affect the mind and a whole lot of complications. So I mentioned her name. I said, "Can you see me?" And she nodded. She couldn't talk. "Can you move your leg?" And she did this. And I said, "Well, at least she could hear me."
React.
And I was so relieved. So I sent mommy the message that this is the progress so far. Mommy said, "Wow, that's a blessing. Let's keep on."
It's very wonderful.
On and on, Lady Reverend Humi also came at a point, went in back and forth. The mommy, you see, it's a blessing to have a pastor.
It's a very good blessing.
Mommy had so many doctors in the hospital who worked there. She tried to reach almost all of them. So they were just trooping in up and down on her to come and check. And they were really following her situation. So we went and came back somewhere around 12. At that point, her eyes were open, clearly.
Wow, church, put your hands together for God. Somebody that couldn't even breathe, she couldn't do anything. Now she can open her eyes and she can see.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Then later, they took off the ventilator because they saw she could now breathe properly.
On her own.
And
on
and on and on. They started removing all the things that were on her to keep her awake. So by Tuesday evening time, she was awake. Well, she could talk, she could smile. She could respond to anything.
Put your hands together for God. This is a wonderful, this can only be God, church. This can only be God. Pastor Gessi, so what do you have to tell the church today?
Let me add the baby part.
Wow.
Sorry, before. Sorry. Briefly. So the baby was at the ICU.
Yeah.
So as I was doing, I was going up and down between the mother and the baby, up and down like that. And I had Oye with me. So we're just, she will go here and I'll be here. Then we'll cross, then she will come here. Like just to make sure. So we went, and long and short of that part is that at the end of the day, the doctors, again, mommy's connections, the boss of the whole unit was there, mommy's friend, and like they came, checked her through, and by the grace of God, the baby also was fine. And on Friday afternoon, the baby was discharged to be fine and well, and nothing wrong with him.
This can only be God. This can only
and
be God.
And by the grace of God,
God working through our pastor.
Oh, yes. And on Saturday morning Saturday afternoon, the mother, my wife, was also discharged.
Wow.
Fine, no problem. And by the grace of God, she's back at home.
She has, Pastor Gessi, what do you have to tell the church today?
To tell the church, if I had the chance to preach, I would have told them a lot. The truth is, number one, you are in a very good church.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know what you think about the church. I don't know what is in your mind, but I want to tell you that stay here.
Yes.
And number two, we have a wonderful pastor God has given us.
Yes.
A pastor who cares about you.
Pastor.
A pastor who will follow you.
Oh, yes.
A pastor who will be by you throughout your happiness, your sadness, every aspect of your life. And we have pastors in the church who also pray for you. One thing that happened was that when the whole thing was happening, I checked my phone and I saw that I'd been removed from the pastor's page. And I was also holding my wife's phone. And I also saw that she has also been removed. And there I knew that prayer was going on seriously throughout the night.
What a pastor we have and what good pastors we have. Wow.
Yes, great pastors. So, please, don't leave this church. God is here. We have good pastors. And whatever your pastors tell you, obey, and lastly, to stay connected to your pastor. Wow. So that in situations like this, she'll be with you, pray for you, encourage you, and help you through. God bless you so much, and thank you.
Thank you very, very, very much, Pastor Augustine, for this. And let's welcome Lady Reverend Humi.
Open your, put your hands together for the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, my neighbor, this is a very good church because we have the best pastor in the world. Oh, I said, turn to your neighbor and say, my neighbor, this is a very good church because God is here and we have the best pastor in the world. Somebody you can always call in your time of need. Hallelujah. So if you are here, decide never to leave. This is your church. ES Joy is your pastor. And as you stay, you will be blessed. You will hear anointed words and your life will never be the same. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4. Did you bring your physical Bible to church? If you did, lift it and let us, lift up your Bible and, it's work, you know, mommy, they are bringing it small, lift it up and let us see. It's work. Who are the photographer? You come upstage and take a picture. Mommy must see that it's working small. Ah, Fred, stage here. Yeah. Lift up, somebody give me my Bible. Carter, give me my, it's working small Bible. Take a picture of us with our instrumentalist. You are not playing. Lift up your Bible. Uh-huh. Oh, lift it up. Oh, mommy, all the way to the back. Oh, put your hands together for yourself. It's working. It's working. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Hallelujah. God has given us an anointed pastor. If you have been here for some time, you can see that your life has been changed over the years. Our pastor is God's servant. She preaches the word, a word in season. And this morning, it doesn't matter what you are going through. It doesn't matter who you are. You are about to receive the word of God. You are about to receive a word in season. Our pastor has been given the tongue of the learned. She is carrying a double portion of the anointing on our Father. Stand to your feet. Put your hands together. And let us welcome to the stage.
King of kings, we bow down and worship you. Worthy is God, how great you are. I can go through and I love you. Hallelujah. Father, we are so grateful that you've brought us together this Sunday. I pray that your word will find a place in our hearts. Lord, let our lives be changed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me see that Bible. Let me see that. There's a confession that we have been making in the Word Encounter service. And some people said, why should that confession only be in that service? It's because they bring their Bibles to church. So lift up your Bible. Those of you sitting down are doing something wrong. Keep standing.
It's a confession that we are making. Lift up your Bible this morning. You want to say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. Take your seat. Some of you are confessing it like you don't believe it. When the Bible says that, look, when we say I have what it says I have, do you know what the Bible says you have? Share. When I say I am what it says I am, do you know what it says you are? You see, I've not been reading your Bible, so you don't know. What does the Bible say about you? It says what? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Really? What else does it say? It says you are the apple of God's eye. As you are there, you have been feeling that you are less than a dot. But the Bible says that you are the apple of God's eye. And as you confess it, it comes to pass in your life. You'll be there. Hey, are you in the church? Yeah. One of the things about coming to church is that you have to believe God. But before I get into my message today, well, first of all, we thank God for Elpina and her baby. Amen. Hallelujah. And we thank God that God answers prayer. As Pastor Augustine was sharing his testimony, Pastor Ashong just turned to me. He's a doctor, and he said to me that it could have gone the other way. Yeah, it could have gone. And I believe that the fact that I didn't go the other way was just God intervening. Amen. Our God answers prayer. Hallelujah. The same kind of prayer we're going to pray about our exams tomorrow. He answers that one too. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. But let me just go through one or two announcements before we continue. And the first thing that I want to say is that next week after midsems is your SRC weekend, your nonsense week. You know what I mean by your nonsense week? Yeah. Here in church, it's a fantastic week. We're going to have some major people visiting the church. Now, before, let me say something. The nation of Israel has been plagued by a lot of problems over the years. It's one problem or the other. Several times they've almost been deleted. And the reason, Jesus told us, is they missed the time of their visitation. There's a time when God visits you. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a time when God visits you, and that visit has a certain kind of mark on your life. Are you here? Yeah. Those of you who were here last week, I think you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it just comes to resolve things. Now, next week is a week like that. The people who are coming in through this church, first of all, I need you to understand that you cannot just have a program and just invite four men of God to that program. It doesn't happen like that. Please push your neighbor and say, it doesn't happen. And tell your neighbor, it is one program, one man of God. Tell your neighbor. Oh, I don't enjoy the way you are saying that. I said, tell your neighbor, one program, one man of God. But for reasons that I cannot explain, except that that is the will of God for us, we have a powerful week with four solid people. And those of you who are sitting behind the instruments should have known that by now this flyer should be up. Yeah, we're having four visitors. The program starts next week, Sunday night, with a man of God who has one of the largest churches in one of the most dangerous areas of Accra. And he's thriving there. Reverend Doctor. In actual fact, he's actually a consecrated bishop, but in his system, they don't use the word bishop. Reverend Dr. Kojo Boateng Bempa begins with us next week, Sunday. Amen. Are you in the house? He continues with us Monday. Hey. Fair. Yeah, yeah. Oh, me there. I don't know about you. So those of you who have planned to go home, goodbye. Those of you, yeah. I'm saying goodbye to you because you will discover, like the children of Israel, that you'd have missed your time of visitation. But those who are wise, we are here. Then we also have Bishop Freddie Norte, a fantastic preacher of the word, highly prophetic man who has lived for many years in one of the most difficult parts of Ghana. And not only has he lived there, he has lived there and prevailed. Are you there? You can live anywhere in this world, but he has lived there and he has prevailed. And he will be here with us to teach us. I tell you, the man can pray down a storm. I am still affected by the message on prayer that he shared with us. And he's coming again. Put your hands together this morning. He's a UD bishop and he is currently in the city of Bolgatanga. After 14 years in Boku, 14 years, he's surviving wars and surviving many things. He landed there, there was nothing. By the time he was leaving, 14 solid churches, several crusades had been done, I mean, a major work. And then he was moved to Bolgatanga. And in Bolgatanga, we are seeing the same thing happening, branches popping up, people being saved. Are you there? I happened to be in a certain meeting. We went to Reverend Eastwood. You know, he had gone there and he sent me a clip of the prayer. And as the man of God was pouring, I said, you have been called to prevail in this place. Yes. Hey, and he's going to be here. It's a good place to clap. Hallelujah. Then we also have another powerful man of God. Push your neighbor and say, another man of God. A man of God who can start 25 churches in 1 year and they will be established. It is my privilege to call him my friend. Every year in the month of October, I do a round of his churches. When we go to the church, we'll go to the church this year. When we get there, it's a rented premises that is a little place. When we get there, the following year, in 1 year, is a whole building fully air-conditioned, full of human meat. Yes, such is the anointing. And it's my pleasure to introduce to you Bishop Isaac Otibwating of the Love Economy Denomination or Churches. Amen. I also have to tell you that he and Bishop and Dr. Kojo Bempa are all Healing Jesus board members. They are men who work with our Father. And last but not the least, the Bishop of Art of Evangelism Conference, Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. The man who stands on the right-hand side of Bishop Doug Hayward Mills at every Healing Jesus Crusade. He is a fantastic builder of churches. I think I have been building this church for the past 9 years or 10 years. In those 10 years, Bishop Ogo has built the Adenta Church, standing with a cathedral, a whole building. He has built the Oyibi Church. He has built the Pediasi Church. He has, And he's currently on his fifth church. I visited him a couple of weeks ago. And he's going to be here. And he has shaken this church every year, every single year. He has shaken this church ever since. To me, he is a gift to me. Because when God spoke to me about this conference, I didn't know which way to go. It was in year 2020. And the Lord said to me, call this man. And he has been here every year. I don't want to tell you the things that will happen. It will be like a film that you are watching that somebody has told you. So I don't want to, release that. But we'll not talk about that one. Come and experience it. Amen. Are you here? Come and what? Experience. You can go home afterwards. You can go home afterwards. And then at the end of the week, we'll have Sounds of Joy right here on our car park. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, what a week. What a week. What a week. What a week it is going to be. Amen. And when you see such things happening, don't let your foolishness take you away. I have to just say it because many of you, the foolishness is so close to your heart. And I have to go home. If you don't go home, what will happen? Will you die? Grow up. Push your neighbor and say, grow up, and stop those things. Grow up. Oh, grow up. We are tired of it. Grow up. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, before I preach, you can tell that today I'll be preaching only for a short time. But it's my pleasure to introduce to you also, Lady Pastor Forewa, it's nice to have you with us this Sunday. God bless you. Amen. I have two young people who are very special to me here. They have been members of this church before. long since commandeering a lot of things in this church. And then at a point, the Lord took them out to the Gambia. And they are here for some time. I don't know how long, but they are here. This Sunday, they are here. I'm going to take my time to introduce them because sometimes when you see somebody, you say, that, oh, no be anything. Now, the are you in the church? Yeah. I'm talking about two young people who have worked in the church for years. The thing that you are doing that you say you are tired, they have done some and more. They started the First Love Church in the Gambia. Amen. Pastor Shong is a medical doctor. He graduated here from KNUC, from right here. And all through the time he was a student here, he was serving the Lord. So those of you who think that the small studying that you are doing because you can't even come to church on Sunday, I think I will advise you to consult him after service. Amen. I'm also happy to say to you, tell you that he's my second son, Pastor Shong. You can stand to your feet and, yeah. All right. Oh, but they didn't see you on the other side. Abba. Uh-huh. Thank you. So please talk to him after service. Amen. So he's a medical doctor by profession, and he's also doing a number of other things as well. His wife is also a heavyweight. Tell your neighbor, heavyweight. Lady Pastor Joanne, she actually used to handle the film stars. In fact, since you left, I think we have not seen dancing stars yet. And then also, I remember there was a film we were trying to produce. We couldn't produce it. And we asked her, which one? Cool My Tongue. You know, since you left, we have not seen this kind of film productions again, no. Lady Pastor Joanne, where should I start? Okay, she has a degree. She's chasing degrees. Amen. She works for the UN in Gambia. And she speaks, how many languages do you speak? Okay, two international languages. And they are here with us. I want you to talk to them after service. I don't know how long they'll be here for, so go and ask them that. Hey, me too. I know some of you are going to say, I want to work in the UN some. But it's something that only God does. So go and talk to them after service. But we're happy to have you here with us. And I'm happy to call her my daughter. Amen. So God bless you so much. And what you are seeing here, Pastor Shong is one of five people who helped me to start what you are seeing here today. Today, the students' church, the campus church, numbers about 1,500 people. We're spread over four services. Amen. And he was right here from the beginning. So it's really a pleasure to have you back here to see the things that you have worked for. And to see that it was not in vain. Put your hands together for them. Amen and amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. Push your neighbor and say, what will we be saying about you in 5 years' time? What will we be saying about you in 6 years' time? Pastor Sean, when did you leave here? What year was it that you finished school? 2018. And then you left in 2019. Wow. Beautiful. And he's working throughout. He never told us that I couldn't go and take care of my sheep because I'm studying. And by the way, he wasn't failing too. I have to just say it. Amen and amen. So push your neighbor and say, in this house, you're going to serve God. And then push the neighbor on the other side and say, and you are going to do well. Yeah. I told you, we don't believe in it that you're coming to just do things for God and God doesn't mind you. He will mind you. And he'll help you. Hallelujah. And that's why at the end of the service, I'm going to pray for you, for your midterms, you and your study group members. Because we don't believe that we should prosper alone. No. Your study group members should understand that because you are part of the study group, that's why they are doing well. Hallelujah. Today, I'm just going to use a short time. I cannot preach this message because I really do not have the time, available. But I need to introduce somebody to you. If you remember, we were going through the seven great principles. We got to the point we said that as for the body, there to disgrace you. If you just follow your body, if you did everything your body wanted you to do, you will sleep in excess, you eat in excess, you'll be having sex every day at the wrong time, in the wrong place, at the risk of your life and your well-being. It will not go well. If you remember, I told you the story last week of a certain man who was at the top of the IMF, and he went and followed his body. what his body wanted to do. And before we're aware, the man was being led off an aircraft in handcuffs. And it brought him totally down. And I started sharing with you how to overcome. Amen. And I said there are two very important things. And last week, I took some time to share with you about how important the word of God is. Now, somebody, I'm seeing you that you're on your phone. If there's any wisdom in your head, you get off. So get off your phone. Yeah, that's your body leading you right there. That's your body leading you right there. I'm still watching the guys cry from where I'm standing. Ah, you are lifting your head. You can now see that I'm watching you. Yeah, I'm watching you. When you come to church, do yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor. Put your phone on airplane mode and concentrate on the word of God for the short 1 hour that it is preached so that some small spirit will enter into you. Small word. When Jesus Christ, you see, there's a kind of demon when you meet it. It's not now that you are going to pray. You better know the word. Amen. And choir, thank you very much for reminding us to have our quiet time. So we spoke about that. Now today, I'm going to take my time to just introduce to you. I told you there are two things that you need. The second thing is not a thing, it's a person. It's a person. Because you need to overcome your body. You need to overcome. How are you going to overcome? How are you going to walk as you ought to walk? We all know what is right to do. How many times you know what is right, but you can't do? I want to see your hand. You know what is right, but you cannot do. Yeah. How many of you have dodged a prayer meeting before? You know that it is right, do you not? Why did you dodge? Because, chale, you see some people, your hands are out. You are there, their hands are down. It means you haven't even started before. You are even out already. At least those who put their hands up, they know that they should have been praying, but they were not praying. But you that your hand is down, it's like you don't even know that you should have been praying. Just say, you are just there. Yeah, Christian, you don't know that you should pray. Christian, you don't know that you should know where. It's like you are just there. You are really in trouble. You are like a child. Just say, if the devil just extends his leg, you go flying across the car park. Yeah. But in the same way, you remember I explained to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Spirit, soul, and body. Today I'm going to introduce somebody to you. I think I still need some three people. This time I need three people. Yeah, just normal people. Okay. Three guys, probably. Please come. I need three gentlemen up here, please. Why? I have to call you. I won't call you. If you know what's good for you, be here yourself. All right. Oh, you are late, sir. But God still bless you. Thank you for coming up. Amen. I'm going to introduce three people to you. How many of us have heard God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? You've heard it before. How many of us will agree that in our minds, we say that it's one God, but mind you are saying that it's three? You are very quiet. Is it true or is it not true? So on the one hand, you are saying it's one, but on the other side, you are saying that it's three. I don't want to spend a lot of time explaining because what about when we were introducing you as spirit, soul, and body? Are you three? And yet, you can see that those three parts of you, if you like, are very distinct. Your spirit is your spirit. Your spirit is the one that when it goes, you are dead. Your soul is your soul, where your mind and emotions are. Please ask your next neighbor, do you have a mind? Do you have some emotions that are somewhere? You see, they are so closely tied to you that you say, I have a broken heart, but your physical heart is okay. That's your soul. And then we talked about the body. We are in no doubt. In the same way, and remember, we are made in the image of God, so it's not so difficult to understand. And that same principle is there over and over and over again. You can have water. Water that is ice. Is it water? Water that is ice. Is it water? Water that is liquid is running from the tap. Is it water? Water that you have boiled that is steam. Is it water? Is it three waters? It's water. So I'm just saying that the principle, please don't go and tell somebody that I said God is water. Please, I beg you. Push your neighbor and say, I don't like such things. Now, in the same way, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, but God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And just as you have three distinctive portions of you, they are the same, but they are also distinctly different. Are you in the house? We meet God the Father in the Old Testament. And God said to Abraham, and God said to Moses, are you here? Hey, the way you are quietly looking at me. First of all, I need to say to you that throughout the Bible, all three of them appear. Throughout the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Are you there? And the Spirit moved over. The earth was without form and void. And the Spirit, they were there. And the Lord said, let there be. In the Word, there was the Son. Because the Bible tells us in John, you see, I don't want to go so deep today. But you can see that it's very deep. In the book of John chapter 1, we are told that, it says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it goes on to tell us that, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So anytime you see the Word of God there, it's taking us to Jesus. And we keep on meeting the Word throughout. So if you remember that, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Continue, and the earth was without form, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said the Word. So you see the three of them working in tandem. However, let us just put it this way for us to understand. In the Old Testament, God was the blowman. He was the one talking to Jacob. He was the one talking to Abraham. He was the one. And because he's God, Charlie, explaining something shortly is difficult. When an ordinary person wanted to know what God was saying, he had to go to the people who God spoke to. The prophets. Are you seeing it? So without a prophet, you couldn't do anything. So you can be a king, and David wants to know what is going to happen here. Then he will send, go and bring the prophet. And then God will. And the reason was because at that time, it was God the Father who was the blowman. The Holy Spirit was there. Jesus was there. But they were not the blow. They were just there as part of all that was going on. Until the end of the Old Testament, when we start the New Testament. And then we see the birth of Jesus, the Son. So he now takes on the form of a man. Are you here? I hope I'm preaching to intelligent people so you can grasp it. But don't worry, if you can't, just go back and listen and listen and listen. And above all, open your Bible. So you see that from Genesis to Malachi, we're talking about God the Father. Then we get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we are suddenly talking about Jesus the Son. Are you in the house or you are not? Very different characteristics, very different features. God the Father, his voice could be very loud, or it could also be very small. When he gives you an instruction, you don't do, you are dead. But is it not true? You don't do, nor justice has fallen. The children of Israel don't disobey. When they disobey, then they start dying. I wonder how many of us would have been alive. The way I love Jesus, and when I remember, please tell your neighbor that you there, by this time you'd have been alive. We will all have it. And that's why the Bible says that God looked at it, and then there was compassion. I said that, Charlie, these people, if I continue this way, it's not going to be well. So he says that by his own hand, he wrought salvation, and he brought Jesus into the picture. Listen, these human beings, they can't do anything right. You better just go, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. The people they have done, will kill every cow, every goat, every donkey, every bear, every lamb. Will kill everything, will be dead, and they'll still be sinning. So you just go without sin. Go and pay the price. That's what we are reading about. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And honestly, for the years that Jesus walked with his disciples, I tell you, the guys had a good time. They were walking around. They paid no bills. When the tax people caught up with them, say, you have to pay tax. What did they do? Jesus just said, catch that fish. Open the mouth. You find the coin inside. Go and pay. Hey, they were paying no hospital bills. Peter's mother-in-law was not well. Jesus just came. The guys were having a good time. Hey, you are very quiet this morning. Or it has not occurred to you that it was a good time. As you are there, young as you are, do you not have bills to pay? I'm asking you a question. Don't you have bills to pay? Don't you have a few troubles? Some of you, you have been wondering how you are going to pay your hostel fee up to now. Amen. But when Jesus was walking around, there was no issue that he didn't sort out for the disciples. Before he came, the people were doing things. So the sons of Zebedee, were they not with their father fishing? Came and took them from there. I will make you fishers of men. He came to look, he changed their lives. And in the middle of all this changing of lives, then we go to John chapter 16. And suddenly in verse 5 and 6, he's saying that, listen, people, I'm going. I'm going where? Since you came, we have not had problems. Since you came. They said, but now I go my way to him that sent me. Then he said, you won't ask me where I'm going. Let's continue. Because I've said these things, you are sad. Why will not be you? Why won't we be sad? When you were working with us, we didn't have any problems. Everything was working. Where are you going? Continue, verse 7. Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is expedient, in case your English teacher died before time. It is better for you that I go. For if I don't go, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. I don't think I will understand what he's saying. Since you came, I've not had problems. What do you mean by it's better if I go? How can it be better? How can it be better? Are you following me so far? The church has become very, very quiet. I want us to read this scripture in another version. That's a little easier to understand. Let's go to John 16 in the same verse 7. Let's go to the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is simply the same scripture, but it's taken from the same text and it gives you the meaning of every word, because one word can mean different things in a language. Are you there? The truth is that English is one of the most barren languages. Yeah, because some words, we don't have it. We don't have the equivalent. Yeah, we don't have the equivalent. How many Ga speakers are in the house? Can I see your hand? You speak Ga. Beautiful. Beautiful. So can I give you something to interpret? Eh? I'm just making my point. Don't mind her at all. So if I say in Ga, nye, 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 nye. Have you noticed that I'm using one word? Nye, 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 nye. I've just put the emphasis on a different word, on a different part of the word. Are you thinking about the meaning? Do you want to give me the meaning? So that I'll give you a prize. If you're a gun, you can introduce, or your speaker. Oh, Lady Reb, I can't help you. You are a gun by association. It's not genuine. Nye, 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 nye. Who is that? Who can help me? You see, even the guys are doubting now that, do they really? Do you know what it means? It means your mother cannot hate you. If you like, take it slowly now. Nye, nye. Nye, nye. Can you see it? One word. So that's what the Amplified Bible has done. The Amplified Bible has taken every meaning of a word that is possible. And so it expands it so that we can understand it a little more. So what was Jesus saying in John 16? He says, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable. Are you seeing it? Now, that word profitable, it also means it is good. It is expedient. It is advantageous. How can you say it's advantageous? I thought Jesus was giving us all the advantage. Now, Jesus comes and says that somebody is more advantageous that that person comes than my being here. It is more advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, then he begins to tell us who is coming. The Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Stand by will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. Now, you may be wondering, who is this person? Can you ask your neighbor, who is this person? What did your neighbor say? He said he doesn't know. Who is this person? Who is it that if he goes, Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. I can't imagine it. Because I thought we said Jesus is the one who answers everything. So what do you mean by it is better? For that answer, I want us to go to John chapter 14. Tell anybody, you better know your Bible. Because in John chapter 14, he actually explains to us who this person is. The person he just says, Comforter, he tells us who he is. John 14, 26. But the Comforter, which is who? Those of you in the middle and back, I didn't hear you. I said the Comforter is who? The Comforter, which is who? The Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. He's telling us that it's better that I go. Now let me explain, why is it better? He says that if I don't go, this other person will not come. I need to inform you that even Jesus himself, when he came, he landed as a baby. We don't hear anything about him. From when he lands, after he's a baby and he has arrived, we don't hear much about him. Passes through, pieces, what are not. I have to say so that nobody will send me a text that, why do you drink tea in the middle of the preaching? It's water. Nowadays, Gen Z, look, we don't know what to do with you all. When Jesus arrived, do we know what was happening to him at the age of 15? Do we know what he was doing when he was 19 years of old age? We don't know much. The only little piece we had was when he went to the temple and he was about 12 years old. After that, we hear nothing. Until he was 30 years old. And when he was 30 years old, he now went to look for John the Baptist and he now went and got baptized. And we have been reading it over and over and over. We've not been thinking about it. But the Bible says that when he went, John the Baptist said, hey, what trouble have you brought to me, please? You should have been baptizing me. Then Jesus said, let it be so for now. And the Bible says that when he went into the water to be baptized and he was coming out of the water, then the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, I beg you, just note, he's not a dove, in the form of it, he came and said, brother, I've arrived. I have arrived. Then and only then did we begin to see Jesus moving in a certain way and manifesting his ministry in a certain way. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, and you are here, you think you don't need him. Something must be wrong with you. Son of God, before he did anything, it's like, Holy Spirit, you have to be there. And so as he's on earth, then he's now telling us, you see, as Jesus walked on earth, he had access to the Holy Spirit, but those walking with him did not. They did not. That was why when Peter was watching them lashing Jesus and beating him, and then they came and asked him, hey, you two were with him. He said, me? I swear God, I don't know the man. The Bible says he swore. You are very quiet, though. Jesus had the Holy Spirit. His disciples didn't. So when he was cut, they were afraid. They ran away. Like how some of you ran away. Yeah. Oh, man. Hallelujah. They ran away. It even got worse. In John chapter 21, the last chapter of John, I mean, it got to a point. Peter just said, look, I'm going back to my fishing. When you came, I was fishing. I'm going back. Like, I have a family to look after. For 3 years, I've chased something that really didn't exist. I'm on my way back. Then he went. But look, Jesus resurrected and came back. He came to finish the teaching. Take us to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. You see, Take us to Acts chapter 1. I'm just giving you. You see, if we start to teach the Holy Spirit, we'll teach from now to the end of the year. Yeah. Then he gave them a teaching. Remember, he says, it's better that I go. Now he explains why. Because when Jesus was walking around, he was trapped in a human body like this. So you could only benefit from him when you were around him and in contact with him. Because he had come as a man. But now he was doing something to rescue the whole world. There was no way trapped in a human body that was going to happen. And then he says, you shall receive power. Are you here? After who has come upon you? Because why? The person we are calling the Holy Ghost, he's a spirit. A spirit is anywhere and everywhere. That's why we can have and be having an encounter here with him, and he's also in the church over there, and he's also somewhere in Accra, and he's also somewhere in Bogatanga, and he's also somewhere across the waters, and he's anywhere, everywhere at the same time, because he's a spirit. And he said, it's better for you that I go there. He says, when he comes, you receive power. That power to live as you ought to live comes through the Holy Spirit. That seeing what you should do, not being able to do what you should do. Hello? Now, I can almost hear somebody saying, oh, by me, I speak in tongues, so I've received the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding and following with me so far? Because I'm sharing this with you because until you know the Holy Spirit, there's not going to be much victory in your life. If you were stealing before you gave your life to Christ, you continue. Remember, I was telling you that we have a lot of Christian thieves. Oh, do you remember last week? Kafu was sharing with us how he just put his phone on a seat and turned around to take his guitar and zip it up. And when he turned around, a believer, a Christian, somebody had just finished listening to the word of God, just stole it and took it away. That's a Christian walking around. Some of you, since you gave your life to Christ, the way you were fornicating before, that you are still on it. Lady Rev says you are even doing it more. Powerless Christians. Powerless. When you see something happening, you just run. Hey, you are very quiet, though. No power. And the reason is because of your lack of understanding of who you have. Now, the Holy Spirit, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you came to stand here, you gave your life to Christ. You said, Lord Jesus, come, be my Savior. You encountered the first dimension of the Holy Spirit that we find in Ephesians chapter 1, around verse 17, I believe, where it says that you are sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit. A seal is just a stamp. That's all. He belongs to me. That's all. He belongs to me. But you now need a certain baptism where, as he comes upon you, you see, the reason why he gives us tongues is that he knows that the way we are, if we don't see something physical, we will not. But that is not the only manifestation of the Holy Spirit. That's not the only manifestation. Are you there? When they say manifestation, the making visible of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said to us that you're going to receive power. Now, why then are our lives still so powerless? I want to introduce you to one or two scriptures and then we are closing. Because if I was going to continue. Number one. The Bible says he will teach you all things. I wonder if you asked him anything. He will teach you. Let me go to a scripture. We have been saying it, but I don't think you know that that's the scripture. That it's a scripture. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. Did you know that the grace is in the scriptures? 2 Corinthians, yeah. Look at it. Oh, give me English that we can understand. The word communion, no muntiasie. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And today, as I'm trying to close my script, my sermon, I want to say to you that it is that fellowshipping that is not happening. What does it mean to fellowship? If I want to fellowship, many times when I'm traveling with Dennis, we are fellowshipping. What's the fellowshipping? We are talking. We are just talking about what? Anything. You are very quiet. recently when he found a beloved, somebody said that, hey, now, you have just found a beloved just now. We have been talking since 2023. Fellowshipping. Hey, brother, hey. So how is it, Charlie? So what did you think? Really? Hey. And she said, what? And so you did what? Oh, is it working? What do you think, Charlie? We were just talking. We're just chatting. We'll go for a program. We'll come and sit there and say, hey, did you see what I saw? I said, hey, I saw it all. I didn't see. You see, the reason why I'm taking my time to explain the fellowshipping is that many of you think that I'm saying we pray to the Holy Spirit. I don't know which Bible you have. So I want you to understand that fellowshipping is not the same as praying. You see that you're very quiet. Because if right now I said, ask the Holy Spirit to come and be with you, what you are going to do is, shaka boba sakata bakata da bakata. No wonder you are not hearing anything. No wonder. How can you fellowship when you are speaking something that you yourself, you don't understand? Hey, man, how come you said today we shouldn't? Don't be silly. Tongues has its uses. That's what we are discussing today. I'm not talking about your prayer life. I'm talking to you about your fellowshipping life. Your fellowshipping life. How do you fellowship? As we are doing, Charlie, I didn't enjoy the noise that the car was making. Oh, what do you think it is? Then we'll be there. Then we discuss it. But when we took it, they said, you see, you are very quiet. Oh, I want to ask you what discussions you've been having with the Holy Spirit. No wonder if things are so difficult. Hey, the church is very quiet. Oh. Yeah. You see, I am deliberate. This is how we are walking. He says, fellowshipping. If you're a child of God, when you wake up, he's there with you. The problem is that you have been ignoring him. Come. You have been ignoring him. When Moses wanted to know something, he asked God the Father. When Abraham wanted to know something, he asked God the Father. When the disciples wanted to know something, they asked Jesus the Son. When they wanted to know something, even to pray, how do we pray? They asked him. How come? Jesus told us that I'm going because the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. And he told us to fellowship. But what we do is that we bypass him, we ignore him, we say he's not there. And then we go and we are asking God the Father, or asking in the name of Jesus, for something that is in the hand of the Holy Spirit. So, I need something. I'm looking for something. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I need. Oh, in the name of Jesus. And all the while, they are just looking at me because the thing that I'm looking for is here. It's here. It's here. Oh, Lord. You know, midterms are coming. It's been very difficult. I can't remember anything. I don't know what questions are going to come. The person who was watching your lecturer write the questions is standing here. He is even holding the marking scheme. And instead of you, when you got up to study, is the Holy Spirit. You know the season we are in, the Holy Spirit. You now, you know. Holy Spirit, you see, look, last week, you remember when Heron is sick? Me, I was busy in the thing. So you know that I haven't finished the syllabus. But me, they've told me that when they were writing the questions, you were there. Listen, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me. Which chapters am I going to read? How should I do it? But you didn't fellowship with him. You didn't ask him. I need to explain to you that I'm not giving you theories. Please, in case you are sitting down here, you see, we have grown up in a ministry that we have not learned how to boast. Do you understand? But allow me, for the sake of foolishness this morning, to boast. I am speaking to you as somebody who has done my first degree. I finished my first degree in the year 1884. I finished my second degree in the year 1989. And I finished my PhD in the year 1994. The PhD that I did, it is not the type that some of you have been doing. You just go and do your research. No. Research is there. Learning is also there. I was a mother, I was a wife, I was a worker, and I was a student. The thing I didn't have in my life at all, The most essential commodity in my life was sleep, because I didn't have sleep. Because I used to work normal working hours. Are you in the church? Then I had babies. So when I pick you up, I put you to sleep. I used to pray that they'll sleep. When they finish sleeping, then now that time, at the end, this is now my learning time. Do you think I had time to learn my PhD syllabus, to finish my nutrition? If I pack the books, it will be from the floor to here. You think I had time to read all those books cover to cover? You got to be joking. Oh, but I thank God. By then, the Holy Spirit was my friend. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm going to do some reading, but you're going to have to help me, because, and as I start, I'll pick the book and something, that thing you call something, that's the Holy Ghost. That book is not important. Put it aside. You pick the next one and say, aha, open this one. You start from there. No, keep turning. This one, learn it. You end in your exam room right there. If you knew the Holy Ghost, you will never need the apostle from a human being. You will never need to copy anything. You will never need to steal anything. It's the Holy Spirit that you don't know. Are you in the church? Yeah, I'm ending. You see, the reason why I'm not giving you a church-based example, I can give you many examples. Many times I stand there and say, Holy Spirit, what are we supposed to be talking about today? And listen, you know that it's been a very wild weekend, though. So please, these people here, their generation and mine, you know, is very different. Eh? What they see, I don't see. And what I see, they don't see. So please, say something. Then he will come as we are there. Do you remember the Bible says he's what? A teacher. Say, you see the scripture? Have you seen it? This one. Okay, start here. We're talking about this one. In this particular scripture, I'm going to stop here. That's the Holy Spirit talking to me. Yeah. I'm a pretty good preacher, isn't it? You have made a mistake. Oh, no. It's not that I'm a very good preacher. Not at all. I got a friend. That's my best friend. The Holy Ghost is my best friend. Oh, yes. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying that. But it's not only the spiritual things. Not at all. One day I was so angry with my husband. I didn't know what to do with the anger. My Holy Ghost said, that young man, call him. You say, you don't relate to your mother. Me, my sons relate to us. Yeah. So I go, oh God, we were talking on the phone. I said, hey, your father has done something fine. I bought. Then he said, oh, mommy, I get what you are saying. But I think if you say this and this and this and this and this, it will work. I told him, I'm too angry to say. Then he said, I'll write it for you. So he wrote it for me. And I sent it. No, end of situation. End of hostilities. But you don't have the Holy Spirit. You see, you have the Holy Spirit, but you don't know that he's your friend. I don't do anything without consulting my friend. I want to go to Accra tomorrow. Then I feel that there's something. I said, what are you saying? You're saying I shouldn't go. Okay, I'm not going. You will go, and that's why as you are going, your bus will go and turn over on the road. I see that your chair, but how do I know the voice of this? How do you know the voice of anybody? How do you know my voice? There are some people, if I disguise my voice, Quality Rev will know that it's me. If I call, hello, am I speaking to Lady Reverend Hume? Exactly, that's exactly the response I'll get. Oh, mommy, why? She has fellowship with me. There's no way I will disguise the voice that she will not hear. You want to know who the Holy Spirit is? Start from this meeting. Start. When I wake up, I even tell him, I say, Holy Spirit, you know that me, listen, you know how it is. You see, the fasting is very difficult. You have to just do something. Yeah, I will wake up and I've even forgotten that it's just working. Because I spoke to my friend. Oh, he says, read my Bible. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I say, go back. You just open here. You see something. Just open. I'll open it. Are you in the house? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship. The person is there. You are not praying to him to even pray. I said, no, listen, Holy Spirit, I'm going to spend 2 hours talking to somebody who does not answer. When you are praying, will you be praying? Then you hear God say, okay, I've heard. Carry on. Carry on. Okay, all right, I'll deal with that one. What do you hear? Silence. And you are supposed to continue. Eh? For 2 hours. You have decided you are praying for 2 hours. When I spoke to him yesterday, he has still not told me that he has received my email. He has still not told me that I heard anything. But when I finish telling the Holy Spirit, the desire to pray will come upon me. And I will pray. And the 2 hours, oh, is the time up already? Hey. That's why the Bible calls him. Take us the last scripture. I've read it already. Let's go back to, in the Amplified, John 16. Are you there? Verse 7 in the Amplified. I want you to just look at those words. The Comforter. Some of you have been crying for a long time. It's enough. It's enough. You just need the Comforter. Are you seeing the words there? Who he is to you. As you fellowship with him, you're going to meet him in all these formats. The Counselor. The Counselor gives you advice. Yeah, sound advice. The part I like is the Helper. The Helper. Can you see it? Or you don't need help. Some of you need some emergency help today concerning the exams tomorrow. You need emergency help. If you need some emergency help, just stand to your feet, start to say, Holy Spirit, I need some emergency help. I need emergency help for tomorrow. I need help. I need help. Are you seeing it there? It goes on to say that he's an advocate. Some of us this morning, it's a lawyer we need. An advocate talks your matter. Ah, somebody else, you are here. You need somebody to talk because the lecturer has decided to fail you. You need a lawyer who will go and stand there and be doing and say, and suddenly, are you there? Look at it, a strengthener. May you meet the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. During this time of midterms, you will not feel tired. You will be reading. You will read everything you need to read. You will study everything you need to study. You will not feel that your strength has left you. You will be able to study the hours. Some of you, when you heard us say 10 hours, you were like, hey, I cannot even do 2. But from now, your strength will be up. Your strength will be up. And then it goes on to say, your standby. In case it is not working. What do we, anytime I say this word standby, I remember a standby generator. When ECG decides I don't feel like working, when ECG decides that I don't have 220 volts to give you, I have only 160, spoiling your things. Your standby generator, you put it on. And many times as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he becomes the standby. He becomes the standby. Are you in the church? I end. I want to tell you, the same testimony that Pastor Augustine gave, I need to give it to you from my perspective. Because I was going to bed. And I had lain down in my bed to just say a prayer. Lord, as this young lady is going for her CS, Father, as usual, be there. We had been praying a bit during the day. But as I lay down to sleep, all of a sudden I was aware of the presence of my friend, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to me, listen. Listen, it's not as before. She's dying. Listen, she's already gone. Listen, get up. Get up. So I got up. I said, hey, sleep must go behind. And he said, start to pray. And then I said, I need to. Then he said, you need to wake up others. We need force. We need forces tonight. And I got onto Lady Rev's page. Hey, Lady Rev, right now, we need. You see, do you understand what a force is? There are different kinds of prayer. He said, lift up the forces. And we began to pray. And then we threw them off the pages and we began to pray. And we began to pray. And we began to pray. He said, pray that this and pray that. He said, listen, it's hot in the room right now. Pray. Some angels are on their way. Pray that they're going to go and stand there. Pray as they go into the ICU. Have you seen that spirit standing over there? Pray. Get the spirit of death out of there. Pray. Release the Holy Spirit there. Pray. Release the angels there. Pray. And we were praying. If you like, find the pastors and ask them. In the middle of the prayer, I sent a message to Lady Rev. It's okay. Go to bed. At that time, he told me we are through because I have a friend. There was not yet much to see. A few minutes later, I got a text from him saying, I can see that she's moving. A moving person means life has returned. Life has returned. I don't know about you. But me, I don't go anywhere without my friend. I don't go anywhere. I will not write one exam without the Holy Spirit. I won't preach one word I can tell you something. I fly from here into countries. I meet pastors. I've never seen them before. I don't know them anywhere. And I start to preach, and examples will be coming. And when I finish, I hear it over and over. You spoke about what's happening in my church. You spoke about my situation. You said, me, do I know you? Your church, cry. I don't know where it is. I don't know its name. You cry that you're talking. I don't know your name. But there's somebody. I said, there's somebody. I walk with somebody. His name is the Holy Spirit. And at this time, we are in the dispensation of the Spirit. I want you this morning, right where you are standing, this one is not closed eyes, it's not tongues. Tell the Holy Spirit you're sorry that you've ignored him. Tell him that you're sorry. Sorry I've ignored you. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were important. I'm so sorry. But right now, please, I'm back. I want you to be my friend. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force. Oh yeah, he's a gentleman. So just talk to him. I'd like to get to know you. I'd like to get to know you. I want to know what you like and what you don't like. Those of you who have been fornicating, he doesn't like such things. You have pushed him into the corner of your room. You want to tell him that I want you to come out now. Help me. Just help me. Help me to know you. Help me to know you. Help me to hear your voice. Help me to see that this is how you speak to me. Help me to call you my friend. I want you to talk to him at this time. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. Hallelujah. Thank you. I'll talk to him for a few minutes. Talk to him. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Talk to him for a few minutes. Even as your exams are coming, you just want to say, Holy Spirit, you are my helper.
Sweet Holy Spirit.
It's a very simple song. Sweet Holy Spirit.
Sweet Heavenly Dove. Stay right here with us.
Filling us with your love. Just take a few minutes this morning.
And for
these blessings, we lift our voices and pray.
We lift our voices and pray.
Oh, without a doubt, we know.
That we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Take it one more time. Just pray for yourself in these few minutes.
Spirit in this place. And I know it's the presence.
And I know
it's the presence of the Lord. There's a sweet. There is.
Somebody has to help them with the word.
In this place, and I know it's the Spirit of the Lord.
And I know
the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit.
Sweet Holy Spirit.
Sweet Holy Spirit.
Pray for yourself for a few minutes. Thank you, Lord, for showing us your Holy Spirit. May the Spirit become close to us. I pray for intimate fellowship, intimate relationships. Help us to stand as we ought, in the mighty name of Jesus. And as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you are here this morning, you've not given your life to Jesus. Before you can even start talking about fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, you need to give your life to Him. That is your license. That is what gives you access to even walk with the Holy Spirit. So as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you are here today, you are saying that I'm not sure I'm born again. I'm not sure. I don't know whether my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today, receive Him as your Savior. I want you to lift up your right hand. As an indication, you are saying, I need to know Him. I need to know Him. I need to know Him. I need access to this Holy Spirit. God bless you. I can see your hands all over the room. All over the room. All over. Please, if your hand is up, come to me. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Just come. Come. We're going to pray together. You're going to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Just come. There are several of you around the room. God bless you. My brother over there with your hand up. Just come. Join them as they're coming. Just come. Just come. Yeah, just come. It's not time to be shy. May the Holy Spirit help you to come. Just come. Just come. God bless you. You're saying, I want to know this Jesus. It's Jesus who is he's our door to the Holy Spirit. Just come. Oh, yes. Just come. Oh, just come. As you give your life to Jesus today, you will receive the stamp of the Holy Spirit, and that is the beginning.
Without a doubt, you know that we have been revived when we shall.
I'm just waiting for somebody. Your heart is beating. That's Jesus knocking on the door and saying to you, all is not well. Just come, just come. Just come. Let us pray this prayer very quickly. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. If you're standing in front, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just pray this prayer after me and make it your own prayer. This is the prayer that makes you a candidate for a visitation, a candidate for the Holy Spirit. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me. Cleanse me with your blood. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. Thank you so much for saving me. May I know, get to know your Holy Spirit and to fellowship with Him. Thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
With all of me, I wanna praise
you. We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter @FOLCIDRASI. God richly bless you.